Well, friends, as we get ready to go into what's a little bit of a different kind of worship experience for us today, I actually wanted to start out by just sharing with you a family that has been on my heart this week, and maybe on yours as well. Some of you may know that one of our St. Luke's band members, Jeff Day, passed away this week after walking a very long road with cancer. One of the reasons you may know Jeff, whether or not you've ever been to our North Indy campus, is Jeff really helped us launch Midtown. He came to Beck as we were getting ready to launch this new thing and said, I'll play for you. I'll play and sing until you've gotten a band established, until you know more people to fill spots and you've cultivated this band culture here. And so I'm just so grateful for him and the way that he saw us and believed in us and would find me after those first few services and just say, you guys are doing a great job. This is going to be something special. He was so encouraging. And so today, I just want to take a moment as a church and pray for his wife, Jessica, his daughters, Julia and Carolyn, and just this moment of mourning that they're going through. So will you pray with me? God, we give you so much thanks for Jeff and his life, for his kindness, for his encouragement, for his talent that he shared with us as a church. God, we are so sad to say goodbye to him. We are sad that this is where his road has ended, and yet we know, Lord, that he is with you. We know that he is free of pain and free of suffering, and for that we give you thanks. Jesus, we lift up Jessica and Julia and Carolyn to you. We ask that you would comfort them. We ask that you bring people around them. We ask that they would find hope and moments of good memories and gratitude as they face this heartbreaking loss. God, help us be a church that supports people in their grief, in their loss. And God, thank you for the way that you weave our stories together. We thank you that Jeff was part of our story. It's in your name we pray, God. Amen. Amen. Well, today, as I mentioned, we are doing something that is a little bit different. We tend to do this kind of worship experience on Advent week 3. And it's a chance for us to not just hear Pastor Mindy say some words, but it's a chance for us to listen to God. It's a chance for us to move our bodies a little bit, to write things, to interact with this text that we're looking at. And today on Advent week 3, we are looking at a text out of Luke that I suspect is pretty familiar to a lot of us. It's a text that we hear a lot this time of year. And as I was sitting with this scripture, I thought, you know, I love how familiar this is, but I also worry when we get to these familiar moments in our church life. Because it's when we get to these familiar moments that sometimes these stories can just go on autopilot. We hear them, we know them, we're like, yeah, Mary had a conversation with the angel, it was really great, that's nice. And then we just kind of run past it, and we miss what the Spirit has to say to us. And so today, that's what I want us to invite us to do, is to slow down a little bit, to simplify a little bit, and maybe hear this scripture in a new way. We've been using our senior pastor, Rob Fuqua's book, as a foundation for our Advent journey together. And I'm going to read you the scripture out of the book. This is a scripture from Luke 1, 26 through 38. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth. We're going to spend some time with Nazareth today. To a virgin engaged to a man who was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and said, greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. But she was perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. Mary said to the angel, "Well, how can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. And therefore the child to be born will be holy. He will be called the Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for her who was said to be barren. For nothing is impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. You know, we find this encounter in the first chapter of Luke. We find this probably unsuspecting young person have this amazing encounter with an angel. We find her receive news that is going to completely change her life and rock her world. And as this angel gives her news, he has a message from God to her about her. I don't know if you caught that when I read this scripture, but here's what the angel has to say to Mary about who she is and how God sees her. He says, "Greetings, favored one. The Lord is with you." Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you. Now, to me, that's a very familiar passage of scripture. I've heard that one many times. And so as I was prepping for today, I thought, I wonder if there's a different set of words, a different way to phrase this. And so I went to my favorite different way of looking at the Bible, which is the Message translation, which always shakes it up just a little bit. And when I read what it said in the Message, I texted like four people I knew, and I said, "Read this right now. It's so beautiful." So I want you to hear this rephrase of those words. Upon entering, Gabriel greeted her. "Good morning. You're beautiful with God's beauty. Beautiful inside and out. God be with you." I just love how those words sound. If you were here with us last week, we talked a little bit about an angelic encounter. And I kind of joked, I said, every time someone encounters an angel, the first thing the angel says to them is, do you remember? Be not afraid. And I'm like, maybe it's because angels sound a little scary. And that's why people are afraid of them. But what I thought was so interesting about this encounter is that that's not where the angel begins. That's not the most important thing the angel could say to Mary. The most important thing the angel could say to Mary is, "Mary, I'm about to tell you something that's going to rock your world, but I want you to hear how God sees you first. I want you to hear what God knows about you and believes about you. I want you to hear, Mary, that you are loved, that you are treasured, and that God has so much kindness for you just because you're you, Mary." I want you to think how it would have impacted Mary to hear those words. I want you to think about how it would have impacted Mary's connection to her Creator. You know, I was thinking about sort of religious practices back in Mary's day, and I thought probably until that moment, Mary was probably a fairly religious, devout person. But my guess is that she sort of held God with this reverence, maybe this fear, this distance. But now here's this angel coming to her and saying, "Mary, God loves you in a way that you have never imagined before." I mean, can you imagine how that would have impacted Mary and the way that she viewed her God? I think about how it impacts us when we experience that kind of extravagant, sort of unearned love. It actually made me think about a time when I was on vacation. Zach and I were on vacation with our in-laws. which is always a fun adventure, right? It was actually a fantastic trip. We had a great time. And on this vacation, my mother-in-law and I were like, hey, it would be fun to sneak away and like get our nails done. That would be really relaxing. And so we're out of town. We don't know anything about where we are. And so we were talking to someone at a different place and they said, oh, I know just the place. Now, you're gonna think I'm lying to you when you get there, because it's in like a nondescript sort of strip mall. You're gonna go in, it's really tiny, there is no website, so you can't do any research, which like, why do we trust this person? I don't know. But we said, sure, you seem nice, let's do it. And so we went to this place and we saw that they were right. Because we walked in and one of the things that they had told us, they said, you're gonna walk into this place and you're gonna meet Tom. Tom is the owner, and you're just gonna love him. So we walked into this nail salon that was, I mean, like half the size of this room, teeny tiny. And we saw Tom immediately, because it's a teeny tiny place, right? You can't miss Tom. But also, Tom had this energy about him, this spirit about him that just exuded warmth and kindness and welcome. And as we sat there and we got our pedicures, we started noticing something. Every time someone left, Tom would say to them in this voice that could have filled this entire room, goodbye, I love you. Every single client, I'm not making that up. That is not like a sermon illustration exaggeration. Every single person, goodbye, I love you. And what I watched is every single person said back to Tom, Tom, I love you too. Now, were they all besties? I don't know. But I know when we checked out, he looked us in the eye and said, goodbye, I love you. And I just remember how that felt. I mean, this was probably 15 years ago. And I remember how it felt to encounter someone's warm, open, completely undeserved love just because we were in the room. I think it's this kind of encounter that we need that reminder of as we see Mary have with God. Because God sees that in Mary, but I think God sees that in us too. God looks at us and says, I love you, full stop. I see good things in you, full stop. And so, we're going to hear a song in just a moment that talks about how God loves us. And during this song, we're going to engage a practice that helps us remember. We're going to think about maybe some words that God might say to us, a word or a phrase that expresses God's kindness and God's love. And so how we're going to do that is the band is going to play, and you're going to be invited to come up at any point during this song and grab one of these bags and one of these markers. You're going to take it back to your seat. And when you get back to your seat, I want to invite you to open the bag and pull out an ornament. And on one side of the ornament, I want you to write the word or phrase that you think God would speak to you, the kindness that God would speak to you. There's very few rules here, except that is the rule. You can't write on here, God says do this, but no. This is the love, the kindness, the grace that God wants to speak over you right now. You're going to keep these supplies. And I'll tell you, if you're someone that you're like, I don't know that I can walk up to the front, or I'm just super uncomfortable to do that, but I'd like to participate, just raise your hand. I'll bring it to you. I'll watch for that. But as you hear this song, as you think about God's love, I want to invite you just to write down that word. So I'll invite us just into a moment of silent reflection, and then the band will lead us in this song.
Got a friend closer than a brother. There is no judgment, oh how he loves me. I've got a friend, and he He is my strength. He is my portion. With me in the valley, with me in the fire, with me in the storm. Let all my life testify. Hallelujah. We are not alone. God really loves us. God really loves us. Hallelujah. Oh, praise my soul. God really loves us. God really loves us. Mercy's enough.
I love the words to that song. I love how it reminds us who God is and how God sees us and how God knows us. And I hope that it reminds you as well. You know, as the story continues, Mary finds herself trying to process what the angel has told her. It is understandably so confusing. It doesn't make sense. It's not how she planned for her life to go. And yet, here she has this big news that she's going to do something so significant. And I think one of the reasons it doesn't make a lot of sense if you're Mary, because you're just this normal person from this small, insignificant town. Why Would it be her? Why would God see her and choose her to do this? You know, the town that she came from, when I say it's incredibly insignificant at that time, that's true. At the time, there were probably only a couple hundred people, maybe several different families that lived there and were kind of linked together. There wasn't like a water source there that would draw people. It wasn't a commerce center. It wasn't somewhere where you said, hey, I'm going to take a long weekend. I'm going to Nazareth. Like, no, you didn't do that. You didn't care about Nazareth. Nazareth was kind of a place where people were just from. And people probably didn't see a lot of future being connected to. In fact, if we read on in the biblical story, if we fast forward and we get to Jesus's life and ministry and we go to the book of John, there's this kind of famous exchange that's had about Jesus. It gets out where Jesus is from. It gets out who he is. And someone looks at Jesus and says, Nazareth, really? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Now, for us encountering this story today, when we hear that question, we're like, well, yeah, good can come out of Nazareth. We know this because we know Jesus. We know his story. In fact, I would guess there's people in this room who have even been to Nazareth. You've been there on a tour. You've been there on a pilgrimage. It's not a tiny town anymore. It's bustling. It's full of tourists. It's full of these holy sites. But at the time, it was just a place. And Mary was just a girl. And so when I think about the fact that Mary says yes to what the angel has brought to her, I think she must have been so scared, so nervous to say that yes. I can kind of imagine her voice shaking. I feel like it's like for some of us, I mean, I talk in front of people all the time, but for some of you, you're like, worst nightmare, talking in front of people. But you've had to do it for work or for life, and when you do it, your voice shakes because you feel that nervousness. It reminds me of when maybe some of you asked your significant other to marry you, and it's an exciting moment, but you're afraid. You're nervous, and so your voice shakes. Or maybe a time when you've had to speak challenging truth to someone and you knew it was the right thing to do and it didn't mean that you didn't have fear. It didn't mean that you wondered how it wouldn't turn out. And yet we can say yes even with shaky voices. It's kind of like this idea that Mary approaches God and says, God, I'm here. I'm open to what you're going to do. I really don't understand it. I don't know why you picked me. My family, generations of us, we've been praying for this forever. So I don't know why I'm part of it. But God, I'll say yes. You know, I think Mary's story really teaches us that saying yes can be beautiful and joy-filled, and it can also be really risky. One of my favorite authors is Emily P. Freeman. I know I've talked to you all about her before. But she says that every yes has a no automatically attached to it. Basically, when you say yes to something, you're inherently saying no to something else. In Mary's case, when I think about her story, she was saying yes to doing this amazing thing for God, but that was a pretty hard no to this ordinary small town life she figured she was going to have. Saying yes to being the mother of Jesus meant saying no to a whole host of other things that she would have expected her life to bring. And so when we think about this idea of saying yes, we just have to realize that our yes and our no, they go hand in hand. They work together. Emily P. Freeman goes on to say about yeses and nos. She says, it's possible to get stuck in the nos. I don't know if you've found yourself there before. To be afraid of yes because of failure or embarrassment or worry or whatever. Or saying no to hard things just because they're hard. But what we say yes and no to shapes our stories, for better or worse. Are you aware of your yeses and your noes? As Beck and Todd lead us in this next song, that's what I want you to consider. What is God inviting you to say yes to right now? And what might that mean you say no to in return? During this song, I'll invite you to take the other side of your ornament and write your yes and your no that go hand in hand in this season. Now, you'll recognize this next song. It's Angels We Have Heard on High. And yes, I'm going to give you full permission to sing along if you can sing and write at the same time. If I try to do that, friends, I'd be writing the lyrics of Angels We Have Heard on High on my ornament. So if you're like me, don't do that. But if you can, yeah, participate, sing along. But here's what I want to make sure you do. This is going to be a familiar song. Like, you've either heard it in church or at Target, okay? Like, we know this song. It's tempting with this song to just let it be another carol. But I want you to pay attention in this song. Where are the yeses being said? What impact do those yeses have? How do they shape the world? And in turn, as we reflect, how do those yeses and no shape our lives? So let's write as we hear this familiar song.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply.
Well, I have one final thought about this song, about this scripture, about this story of Mary and this place of Nazareth. You know, as we've been invited to think about how God sees us, as we've been invited to think about our yeses and our noes, I think we're also invited in this story to say, what do we want to let go of? Now, I know in December, it's like, Mindy, really? We're going to let go of something? Okay. This is a packed month, right? We feel the pressures and the traditions. We do a lot of things in this month that we want to do. If we tell the truth, we do some things we don't really want to do. And we're just kind of spinning because that's what this month can feel like. But isn't there a beauty in letting some of that stuff go? Isn't there a beauty in believing that, oh God, if you say this about me, these kind things that we wrote down at the very beginning of our time together, then maybe I can let go of this thing that I've been holding on so tightly to. You know, as I think about Mary's story, I think she heard that message from the angel, but I am almost positive she heard some very different messaging from other people in her life. As she grew that baby, as she waded into these waters of like, what does this life look like and what does it mean? And now we're traveling to be counted and I'm going to have this baby away from home in a less than ideal place. Those voices that sound less kind, those voices that sounded different than God, I think there were times when they were probably pretty loud. But what Mary has the choice to do, what we have the choice to do, is to hold on tighter to what God says than to what those other voices want us to hear. And so as we think about these next 10 days, that's maybe news for some of you. There's 10 days left till Christmas. As we think about these 10 days, and the pressure and the narratives and just the words we can speak to ourselves. Friends, what could we let go? I'm going to give you a real practical example. So I was about to order Christmas cards. I know, we're close. And I looked and I saw when those Christmas cards would make their way to my house so that they could go to your homes. And I said, this is impossible. It's impossible, it's expensive. And I looked at Zach and I said, what would happen if this year, if I didn't send these Christmas cards? And he was like, is this a trick question? Like nothing? Nothing is the answer? And so I let it go. But thank you. Thank you. I'm giving you that simple example because sometimes it's that simple. Truly. Sometimes it's deeper. Sometimes we got to work through some stuff, but sometimes it's that simple. Letting one small thing go so that we can hold on to a better story of who God says we are. So the last thing I want to invite you to do during this last song is to take this bag. Look, we're using every part of the prop today, okay? To take this bag and write down that thing that you want to let go. Over these next 10 days. I'm not asking you to let this go for the rest of your life. Okay, we're not doing that work today. But for 10 days, what could you let go of so you can remember and hold on to this thing in a truer, realer way? After you write that down, you get to do something really fun. You get to crumple it up. Now, you can be dainty about it or aggressive about it. I don't really care. Whatever feels like you. But write it down and crumple it up. And as we leave this place in just a few moments, you can just toss it in the trash. And I want you to remember in like 2 days when you want to go get this thing and bring it back, remember that you wrote it down. Remember you crumpled it up. And remember that God has something so true and good to say to you. So I'll invite our musicians back one more time. You'll hear it'll just be some instrumental while you write and crumple, and then we'll be invited to sing a little bit of that song, God Really Loves Us, together.
God's going to play this chorus one more time, and then we're all going to sing the chorus together into the little bridge that's just talking about how he really loves us. He really loves us. So feel free to stand or take whatever posture you want to take during the closing of this service. Thanks for being here today.
What a father.
What a